I have a friend, a priest, who wages ministry in the Northwoods of Michigan. The hallway of his rectory has framed posters from a company called Despair.com. They sell what are called demotivational posters because, as their website says, motivational posters products don't work, but our demotivator products don't work even better. Now, a homily that begins by giving you this kind of information demands an example or two. And a word of warning, I am not a sales rep for the company. One poster entitled Pessimism shows a lightning bolt coming out of a dark storm cloud. And underneath it says, every cloud has a silver lining, but lightning kills hundreds of people each year who are trying to find it. Another shows a meteor streaking through a night sky. Beneath the title, Wishes, are the following words. When you wish upon a falling star, your dreams can come true, unless it's really a meteorite hurtling to Earth, which will destroy all life. Then you're pretty much hosed no matter what you wish for, unless it's death by meteor. The word demotivate means to make someone lose their enthusiasm and interest. You can see why the company is called Despair.com. I'm offering these examples because there is one poster that gives a snarky commentary on this Sunday's passage from the Gospel of St. John. It shows a lonely figure walking along a beach, and beneath it are the words, a friend is just a stranger you haven't alienated yet. This Sunday, Christ's teaching following the miracle of the loaves and fishes acts in much the same way as a demotivational poster, causing his disciples to lose their enthusiasm and interest. They part company with him. As a character in Arthur Miller's play, The Death of the Salesman, of a Salesman, says, betrayal is the only truth that sticks. It is a truth that sticks for the evangelist John also. His gospel is all about friendship and betrayal because it is really two stories, the story of Jesus of Nazareth and the story of the men and women whom he befriends. The narrative tension of John's gospel comes when these two stories interact with one another, and the drama is this. God himself has come down from heaven and assumed a human body in order to invite men and women back into fellowship with him. Will the children of men accept the invitation to intimacy and communion, or will they insist on going it alone as they have for millennia after millennia? I said that the narrative tension of the gospel comes when these two stories intersect with one another. Actually, that is a homiletic half-truth. Part of the drama is also whether men and women will recognize Jesus for who he really is, the second person of the Trinity, the divine Logos, enfleshed as a Galilean Jew in first century Israel. It is only as the incarnate Logos that Jesus of Nazareth could have the chutzpah to say to the crowd that if they do not eat his flesh and drink his blood, they will not have life. Now, as John 6 comes to an end, much to the relief of homilists the world over, and the meaning of Jesus' disturbing, if not shocking, words sink in, many of Jesus' disciples react by saying, this is hard. Who can accept it? The problem here is that Jesus is too human, not that what he says is difficult to understand or believe. They know him. They know where he comes from. They even know his family. Jesus looks, acts, talks, and lives like an ordinary Jew, and maybe worse, a Jew from Galilee, not the king and prophet the Messiah was expected to be. Who is he to give his life for the life of the world? So today's passage, one important turning point in John's gospel, it marks the moment when many of Jesus' followers part company with him because he's too much to take. The language of departure, going away, walked with him no more, is the exact opposite of the coming to belief and friendship that we call faith. We should not be naive in thinking that this has all taken place in some distant past and that it does not touch upon our own experience. The drama of belief and unbelief, friendship and betrayal, continues to play itself out. It is merely assumed another form in the 21st century, namely that 2,000 years ago it was easy to reject Jesus of Nazareth because he was too ordinary, too human, too Galilean, or whatever. Today it is possible to accept him, but to reject his body, the church, for the same reason: too human, too Roman, too institutional, too hierarchical, too patriarchal, too formal, too boring. We all think these things, but we can never forget that the church is Christ's flesh given for the salvation of the world. And don't think I'm taking liberties with the gospel here. This is why the fathers used to say that the church makes the Eucharist and the Eucharist makes the church. What we have been listening to over the past 5 weeks is as much about the community that makes the Eucharist as it is about the Eucharist that makes the community. It is about learning to recognize the living Christ in the ordinariness, the humanness, the brokenness of his body extended in space and time. Beyond the problems, beyond the intramural barricades raised by the theological partisans of the left and the right, beyond the personal struggles to make sense of faith in a secular age increasingly hostile to religion, Jesus is still there saying to us, "Do you also want to leave?" Amid the often conflicting claims about what it means to be a Catholic today, we must listen very carefully to Peter's words to Jesus that resounds all through the centuries. "To whom, Lord, shall we go? You have the words of eternal life."